Hi, you're listening to Advocate Radio, where it's all about the neighborhood. Today is our first ever Lake Highlands podcast, and here with me are Carol Toller, one of our neighborhood bloggers.
Hello.
And Ellen Raff, who is a Lake Highlands columnist.
Hello, glad to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about three topics. One is the Lake Highlands principal shakeup. The second is, do Lake Highlanders want to get wet in the wet-dry issue? And the third is the reaction to the announcements that a couple of apartment complexes in Lake Highlands will transition into supportive housing for the homeless and formerly incarcerated. We'll start with the principal discussion. Carol, you wrote about this topic on our blog. What's going on? Are we going to have a principal by the time school starts?
I hope we will. There's no word yet on any leads that the district may have. The superintendent makes that choice. A reflector committee has been assembled, and they have met. They generally don't discuss names. They don't recommend a person. They generally describe traits of a successful principal, someone who would be successful in Lake Highlands. And in general, those traits are about the same for every neighborhood. They're, in my opinion, not terribly helpful, but it's a way that the neighborhood can voice their opinions, and then the district will hopefully use those recommendations to find a principal. We don't know if they already have someone in mind. We don't know if they will promote someone from within. We don't know if there'll be a big search, and we may not know until a lone candidate or multiple candidates are announced.
There you go. Have they mentioned any kind of time frame in which they may announce candidates, or is that still up in the air as well?
I think it's up in the air. I think they're being pretty tight-lipped about what they're doing behind the scenes. I think the neighborhood would love to have a principal before school starts, and I think the district will try to do that. The more time for the principal to get involved, the better before school starts, and to meet the kids and meet the parents and meet the teachers and staff and all that. I hope they will have that accomplished by August 1. They haven't told us when it'll be.
Tell us a little bit about the background here. We have Bob Iden, longtime principal, who left a couple of years ago. And then,
very popular guy.
Yes, and then Walter Kelly, which is why we have the vacancy in the principal position, who was here for a couple of years. What have we lost with Walter Kelly?
You know, Mr. Kelly was a neat guy. He was welcomed wholeheartedly by the neighborhood, which frankly surprised me because Dr. Bob was so popular. And I think that's why a lot of neighborhood residents feel a little betrayed,
yeah.
Is that they think, new guy, never heard of him, never met him, treated him like one of the guys from the get-go, welcomed him. He did a great job. He was great for the kids. The teachers love him. The parents love him. For him to leave after 2 years was pretty surprising, and I think a lot of people felt like that they maybe were betrayed. You know, a lot of people in Lake Highlands consider Highland Park a rival.
Which is where Walter Kelly will be next year.
Which is where Mr. Kelly will be at the high school. They're excited to have him. We're sad to lose him. But it makes it even maybe more of a bitter pill to swallow to know he's going to what Lake Highlands considers their rival as Highland Park. Highland Park may not consider us a rival. I think Lake Highlands considers Highland Park a rival.
There you go. There, I've heard rumblings, I don't know if there's any truth to this, and you probably don't either, that maybe one of the junior highs will lose their principal in order to fill that position in the high school. Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I've heard speculation to that effect. And some people find that comforting to have someone they know. Mm. Other people find it not comforting if that is not their favorite nominee. And so I've heard both sides. So I think we'll just have to rely on admin to take care of us on that. And I think they did take care of us in choosing Walter Kelly. So I am putting my confidence in admin, which is making the right choice.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to the wet-dry issue. There's been some discussion on our blog about this election coming up in November and what it might mean for Lake Highlands. Ellen, what do you think? Do Lake Highlanders want to get wet?
I think as a matter of convenience, they may want to get wet.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that if there are a lot of households that go ahead and have wine and beer, despite the fact that We live in a dry neighborhood. They don't have any trouble finding where to buy it, except for the fact that they have to drive out of their neighborhood. Mm. They know where it is. There's plenty of wine and beer within our little neighborhood. So I think the main difference would be that. Some people would like, the main comments I see is that, you know, just for a matter of lifestyle, it would be nice to go to some restaurants that serve some nice wines and beer and not have to worry about bringing your own. Although we do like that option.
Right, there's some popular restaurants.
Right, and I guess that, you know, may be the trade-off if some of those restaurants decide that if we went wet, that they could, you know, make a little more profit. On the other hand, that would be good for them, and we like to have our businesses do well. So I think, you know, knowing that, I think it would be a reach to say that suddenly we're going to have a lot more revenue in the area or Dallas because of this. I think it would just make things a little more balanced. We could probably be able to pick up a bottle of wine at our local Kroger and not have to drive the other way. The other thing is that, you know, rather than when we do drive out that way, all of a sudden you see this, you know, it's like driving from California into Nevada. All of a sudden there's a bunch of gambling casinos. And so when you drive from Lake Highlands over, you know, south, all of a sudden there will be... some liquor stores.
Right.
So, you know, we maybe not won't see that so much.
That's a possibility. Do you think it really matters in a major way? Do you think people really want to see this happen, or do you think Lake Highlanders are, either way?
Oh, if it doesn't happen, it'll come up again.
Sure. I mean, it'll come up again.
It's not the major issue right now. It wouldn't be the major issue for me. I could certainly work around it if it stays this way.
What do you think, Carol? Do you agree with that?
You know, I do agree, and honestly, I'm with the group that finds it all kind of confusing. If I drive one direction to Skillman and Idalia, that Tom Thumb doesn't sell it. If I drive the other direction from my house the same distance, the one at Skillman Abrams does. I don't understand the difference, but I'll drive whatever I need to drive to get whatever I need to get.
There you go. Well, let's go ahead and move to our third topic, which came up last week. It's the announcement that a couple of apartment complexes in the Lake Highlands area will be transitioning into supportive housing for the homeless and formerly incarcerated. There's been quite a reaction to this on the blog post. But Carol, tell me what you think of all of this, first of all.
You know, I think Jerry Allen has had some personal comments directed towards him. I think a lot of the anger seems to be going to him personally.
And he's on city council trying to, I mean...
He has made the comment that he won't oppose it, and he is ready for the community to support the people living there as long as there is accountability. And I think what he means by that is as long as the residents are behaving themselves and the property owners are behaving themselves and policing, monitoring, making sure the residents behave themselves, that he thinks the neighborhood residents will support the individuals who live there. And I think a lot of the neighborhood feels the same way. I think the opposition comes to the idea of trying to go out and find and recruit needy populations into the area. I think in general, Lake Highlands is real comfortable with a certain mix of needy population and, you know, the haves and have-nots. I think where it gets tricky is what is that balance? I know when my kids were in school, in public school, it seemed like about a third of the population being needy was easy, and there were plenty of parents to help and plenty of room moms and parties and embellishments and extras. When you get to about two-thirds of the population being needy, it seemed to get harder to fill the PTA jobs and you know, have programs and be supportive of the school. Somewhere in there is a a general range of percentage where it works, and somewhere is a, you know, I guess it's like a bell curve, and I don't know what that percentage is, but I think the neighborhood recognizes that at some point too much is too much. And where to find that mix, I don't know how to do that.
Hmm. So it's more of a reaction to this overall situation as opposed to maybe this particular incident, you think? Is that what you think maybe?
I think so. And I think some people perceive that Lake Highlands doesn't want any needy people. And I just think that's completely untrue. Lake Highlands doesn't want to feel like it's the only neighborhood that is handling needy populations. And they don't feel like they want to be overrun with a needy population that needs a lot of social services. So the balance is how to help in a way that everyone benefits and not in a way that it makes it difficult for everyone.
Okay, that makes sense. Ellen, there's kind of a couple of different sides of this. I don't know where you fall or if you want to talk about that. But
well, I can just say that I looked at this story in the Dallas Morning News, and I was a little surprised to see that 50 units seem to be all in one complex. It says called Trinity Palms on Forest Lane, 50 for the homeless, and then Woodside also on Forest Lane. I think it's 10 or 20 for the formerly incarcerated. 50 in one apartment complex, it might seem like a lot, but when you think about it, these complexes are large, and why would the owners agree to that? Because they think it's good for them. I think they believe that it guarantees them 50 rental units rented out all the time. And I think that they expect that those will be units that will probably be less problematic for them, because these are people who will have some aid and some incentive to do right. So it's not necessarily all bad news.
And, you know, supervision goes a long way, supervision and support services. If there's great support services for this incoming population and they are helped to get on their feet and become productive citizens, then if they're productive citizens, then they're not problem citizens. So how do we pull our fellow Dallas residents along and be helpful in a way that doesn't drag down the neighborhood? That's, I think, the desire. You know, ironically, this past weekend, my church, Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, was serving food to the homeless at Austin Street Shelter. Some of the same people helping to serve that food are some of the same people not wanting to see this in their backyard, and it's kind of that NIMBY idea, the not in my backyard. I'd like to help feed the homeless. I just don't want them living next door. I think there is some of that.
Hmm. Well, this is obviously a topic that we'll continue talking about as more announcements are made and more information comes out. We'll have links to each of these topics on our blog post on which this podcast will be, and we hope you continue listening. We'll be back, and we'll let you know when we're going to be returning. Follow the Back Talk Lake Highlands blog for more information. This has been an Advocate Radio podcast. Thanks so much for listening.